No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We have conflicting reports in regards to Josh Giddey's relationship with the Chicago Bulls. On one hand, Jake L. Fisher says that the relationship is starting to get a little bit strained, whereas Casey Johnson just reported that the relationship is fine between the two and amicable between the two. We're going to talk about those two warring mindsets and what it could mean for the Josh Giddey contract negotiations. We're also going to talk about Nikola Vucevic not having any trade market and how have the Bulls actually improved from where they were last season. We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And I want to start off talking about these Josh Giddey reports. Yesterday, we went live after Jake L. Fisher's live stream on Bleacher Report, in which he talked about the relationship between Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls becoming strained, right? And to the point to where taking the qualifying offers on the table, even though he did admit that that is something that is still unlikely as far as taking the qualifying offer, it's more likely that him and the Bulls reach some form of a deal before that nuclear option ends up happening. But then also yesterday, we got reports from Casey Johnson that said that he's remained adamant that conversations between the two have been amicable. During By the Horns episode on Chicago Sports Network, he even reiterated that Giddey met with head coach Billy Donovan in Las Vegas and spoke with his Bulls teammates, even despite not being on the sideline with those guys. So where does the truth lie at with this, right? Who to believe more? Of course, you like to lean towards your Chicago reporters, and that's the case here. Now, some people raise concerns that, what if Casey Johnson is a mouthpiece for the Bulls front office, which I don't really ever get. I do think he gets things told to him that isn't there in the national media. I don't ever get the feeling that, like, Casey Johnson is a mouthpiece for the Bulls, though. I know that talk has been out there for some Bulls fans, but I don't get that feeling for KC personally, right? I think KC has even, raised some questions about some of the things that the Bulls have done, but no, whatever, wherever you sit in that. The truth is probably somewhere between these two reports, right? Meaning that it's somewhere probably between the relationship has become strained and it's amicable, meaning that, and it could just be in a place where both sides are just tired of this. But both sides are playing hardball, and that's a conversation that I want to have here, right? It depends on how you view it. You have Bulls fans that are in the camp of, well, Josh Giddey's being unreasonable. He's asking for too much. Nobody's going to give him that much money. Why is he sticking to that? And then you have the fan base that is on the side of, well, the Chicago Bulls are playing hardball with Josh Giddey, where they should have done that with P. Will. Why are they doing it with Josh Giddey now? They risk losing somebody who's so important to the offensive identity that they built. And again, much like with the Casey Johnson and Jake Fisher thing, the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? Now, I do think when you have to realize that in negotiations, if you can't reach a agreement, it means that both sides are sticking to their guns. It's not just Josh Giddey sticking to his $30 million evaluation. It's not just the Chicago Bulls sticking to their $20 million. The fact is both sides are sticking to what they feel is the right deal right now. That's negotiation, right? Now, if we start hearing that either side has been completely, it is unreasonable and coming down even a little bit, that to get this deal done, somebody's going to have to come down. And it's not probably going to be just one side. It's not going to be just Josh Giddey coming down to $20 million. It's not going to be just the Chicago Bulls moving up to $30 million. It's going to have to be an actual negotiation, and both sides are going to have to give up a little something, whether that's years on one side, whether that's a little money on one side, or maybe it's both. What maybe the Bulls want? We heard that they haven't offered more than 4 years at $20 million, and maybe that's the case. Maybe Josh Giddey wants the full 5 years at $30 million, so he's going to have to come down off the years a little bit. Or maybe the Bulls are going to have to go an extra year with a little bit of extra money. Like, it's a negotiation that's going to happen here. Now, hearing that this could go another month, that this could go into August, right? Why are you talking about this happening basically since June? Like, I think people forget that. Like, this has been going on for a while. But to get to this point to where now, it hasn't happened yet. And like I keep liking to go to, all the restricted free agents, the main ones, Quentin Grimes, Cam Johnson, Jonathan Kuminga, Josh Giddey, they're all there. And a lot of the talk is based almost the same with Josh Giddey in his camp as the Golden State Warriors. He came out and told Shams yesterday he's not taking the Golden State Warriors offer, and he's going to keep pushing his agent to either find deals or find a better common ground. And that's the thing with this Josh Giddey thing, right? Now, I will say in this and through what we've heard and stuff like this, a sign and trade is not an option at all. So it's going to end one of two ways. There's only two ways that this is going to end, in either a new contract for Josh Giddey, or Josh Giddey's going to take the qualifying offer, which I guess is still a new contract, but he's going to take the 1 year qualifying offer and play that out. And then likely his Bulls career is probably done at that point. There are not a lot of scenarios in which a player plays on the qualifying offer and stays with their team. I'm sure it's happened before, but it's not often that does happen. Right. So the situation is going to have to go. Both sides are playing hardball. And I think that's something that we need to have the conversation about. Now, they both have their own merits. And I've said this before, too. The Bulls, if you can get a player cheaper, why not get that player cheaper? Right? Let's just be clear. I get it. And this is not to say I don't understand the Bulls fans that are saying, oh, my God, they're lowballing Josh Giddey. This front office sucks. I get where all that. I'm not saying you're wrong for that feeling. But I'm just saying, in real life, if you can get something cheaper, you're probably going to get it cheaper. If you have a situation in which you can manipulate things and hold the leverage to where you can get something that you want cheaper, all of us are going to do that. No different in basketball, right? Now, on the flip side of it, we've already talked about the merits that Josh Giddey has as far as using the Jalen Suggs as an anchor for his contract talks. Josh Giddey scored more points, more rebounds, more assists. Jalen Suggs is a much better defender by far, right? But then when you start looking at some of the defensive numbers, for just those that want to look at this, go and look at the field goal percentage of players that Jalen Suggs guards in the mid-range and at the rim, and then go look at those same defensive numbers for Josh Giddey in the mid-range and at the rim. It's actually kind of alarming, the fact that Josh Giddey has been a better mid-range defender and a better in-the-paint defender on guards than Jalen Suggs. So again, like I said, it's a spectrum. You can really, when you start getting to the nitty gritty of it, you can start seeing why Josh Giddey and his agents are using that contract as a barometer, because there are some merits to that. Right now, one could also say, hey, Jalen Suggs been with the same team the whole time. He's had his role. He fits in with those players. He's been part of that franchise. And of course, he's going to get a little bit more because he's their own guy. And you can definitely make that case too. You can also make the case, well, Jalen Suggs is one of the best perimeter defenders on guards in the NBA. You can make that conversation too. So it's not as straightforward as what any Bulls fans are trying to have. Even myself, the conversation is a lot more layered than I think we all realize. And again, I don't think this is going to a place to where either side is necessarily being unreasonable yet. Right now, when they come back, they sit back down to the table and they realize, hey, we can't keep doing the same offer. It's time to figure out where the middle ground is. And if that happens and both sides are just like, no, I'm not moving off my deal. All right, what are we going to do? The qualifying offer is probably going to be the thing at that case. And that's what you got to worry about if you're the Bulls. And even a little bit if you're Josh Giddey. I've said it before. The qualifying offer isn't some end-all, be-all where it gives the player so much more leverage where now they're walking around with confidence. Oh, I'm playing on the qualifying offer. I'll see y'all in free agency. No, that's a huge risk. If Josh Giddey plays on the qualifying offer, and let's say, who's been fairly healthy over his career, but let's say he does have a major injury, right? Or let's say he has a down season, which does happen sometimes. Let's say those things happen. That market, which is already reportedly not been huge, is going to take a huge hit. And I know my Josh Giddey fans are going to be like, well, yeah, bet on yourself. And that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. But you have to realize that there are risks associated with betting on yourself, and they may never hit. Those risks may not hit, and that, therefore, to walk away from that, betting on himself in a great position. That's very well possible. But if it does, and that's something that if I'm the agent of a player, we're also talking about that, because you can't just talk about and just think about the good that can come out of the situation. If anything were to happen while playing on the qualifying offer, injury or performance-wise, it's going to hit you hard. And then you're locked in, and then you don't have the comfort of taking the qualifying offer. At that point in time, teams have all the leverage if that were to happen. So that's something that these sides have to factor in as well, right? And on the Bulls side, if Josh Giddey does say, fuck y'all, I'm playing on the qualifying offer, and goals and balls out, let's say he does have not even what he finished the season on, 20-10-9. Let's not even say that. Let's go reasonable. Let's say 15-8-8. If he does that and the offense looks like it's humming with him out there, which we know is a possibility, oh my God. Like, at that point, you now then lost an asset and you lost a piece to your team, because, like I said, it doesn't commonly happen to where a player plays on the qualifying offer and then returns back to that team. So that's the risk that's involved here. But again, two different war mindsets when it comes. The Casey Johnson report, the Jake L. Fisher report, they are really on opposite sides of the spectrum. And we got to figure out where that middle ground is, just like, and it's funny because it's probably also reflecting the contract negotiation. So you guys can let me know, though, how you feel on that down below. All right, let's get into the next thing. Nikola Vucevic, right? Now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday as well. Vooch not having any trade market. Jake L. Fisher went on to say that he said this: no trade this offseason. We've been talking about how there hasn't been much of a market for Nikola Vucevic all along, dating back to the trade deadline. I think it's at this juncture we're probably more likely to see a Nikola Vucevic buyout midseason than we are to see a trade. Now, what does that mean for the Chicago Bulls? What does that mean for Nikola Vucevic? And I've been saying this, and I'm going to say this again. Keep in mind, until the Bulls have another starting caliber center on their roster, and for those that are saying, oh, it's easy, Zach Collins, it's not that easy. Now, when you look at Zach Collins' numbers, it's not that easy. I'm not saying that it's necessarily hard. I think that if you have, this is what I'll say. If the Bulls had a young center in the wings that just needed to develop to turn into a starting caliber.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Percenter that was maybe a little bit raw, yeah, start Zach Collins for 2 years. But the fact of the matter is, until the Bulls have a new center under contract, meaning whether they draft one, they sign one, that's a starting caliber center, guess what? Nikola Vucevic is going to be here. And I will go so far as to say this. I know that Jake Fisher said a buyout is more likely than a trade. He was just comparing those two things. And I know I've been saying this. I know every time I say it, my boy C-Dub cringes. But I still think that it's likely that you can see Nikola Vucevic back in the Chicago Bulls uniform. Let's just look at it this way, right? Nikola Vucevic has not played less than 70 games since the 2020-21 season. I'm sorry, wrong. Since the 2019-20 season. And even then, he played 62 games. And oh, the year before that, he played 80 games. If you want to go to the last time Vooch played less than 60 games, that's only happened twice in his NBA career. That was the 2017-18 season and his rookie year in 2011-12. Nikola Vucevic is not only fairly durable center, he was 10th in rebounding last season, 44th overall in the league in scoring, three and a half assists per game, right under a block per game as well. And he did that on 14 shots with 53% efficiency from the field and 40% shooting from three-point range. That's not a center you just move off on just because you don't like the way that he plays defense. And I get it. I'm in no way saying that Bulls fans should shut up and take their medicine and just be happy with Nikola Vucevic as their starting center. No, go two episodes ago. I have a whole episode talking about the importance of a specific type of center with this play style and with this team. So I understand the merits there. This isn't me talking from Hayes' perspective. This is me talking from a perspective that I can see the front office having. And that is, until you have another starting caliber center that fits more what you want to do, Nikola Vucevic, and especially if he's willing to take a cheaper deal. Now, I know that Vuce has said he does want to compete towards the end of the season. That's another wrinkle in this that maybe Vuce does. But if teams aren't biting, and maybe Vuce at that point is ready and willing to take on a bench role, and if he's willing to do that in free agency, oh, he's gone. I think if Vuce is willing to take on a bench role so that he can compete for a title, he's gone. It just is what it is, right? But this Vuce thing, with the market being what it is, I just do not see it being all of a sudden now you're switching to, like, Vuce is going to get bought out. I don't think that's going to happen. I know people heard that when we talked about that, and it filled people with some hope, or some people even said, hey, that's just another bad use of assets. But when you look at Zach Collins, and everybody presenting Zach Collins as this, oh my God, he can take over the starting role, he started 83 out of 378 games. Again, this is me talking about from AK and Eversley's perspective. They're going to keep buying their time with Nikola Vucevic until they have that next center in the wing that's their center of the future. And so hearing that, of course, it's like, oh, damn. I said it then. The Bulls aren't going to buy out Nikola Vucevic. I don't see that happening at all. To be 100% honest, I just don't see that happening. I think that if the Bulls were to get to a point of buying out Vuce, it would only have to be, there's a deal that we have on the table. We have to take back more contracts. And the center's coming over with this. Let's go ahead and get Vuce off the books. Then, like I've said before, if you're saying that a buyout's more likely for Vuce, what does that mean for Javon Carter, who's making almost $14 million less than Nikola Vucevic, right? So you have to look at those things and aspects too. So I'm not the Vuce thing, I say this. Much like I said with the Josh Giddey thing, I see one of two outcomes coming with this Vuce thing. Vuce is either going to be traded, because by the trade deadline, maybe a team like the Golden State Warriors, who had some interest, look at it and say, hey, we've been a pretty solid team this year. You know what? We still do need that center. Let's go ahead and go get him, right? Or another team doing that. I just use the Warriors as the conversation point there. That's the only way that I see that happening. If that doesn't happen, I'm telling you guys now, by the way that I've seen this front office operate, Vuce is more likely to stay and get a new contract here than not if the Bulls do not have a plan to replace him with a center that more realistically fits what the mold of center is that they need. And that's just the reality of it. And again, I don't like talk. Why do we talk about that as if it's some terrible thing? A durable center that doesn't play less than 70 games, can still put up 18 and 11, basically, on decent efficiency. Like, what are we talking about? Yes, he doesn't play great defense, but guess what? Adding Noah Essanay, adding Isaac Okoro, getting back Ayo Dosunmu, Miles Bouzelis taking a step defensively. The Bulls have a pathway to get better defensively regardless. And most of the Bulls' defensive problems anyway happen because of penetration from the perimeter. Even though, yes, the Bulls' points in the paint look ridiculous, but that's mainly because of the way that we allow perimeter players to get to the rim so easily. So those are things you have to look at and factor into all this as well, that I get it. As fans, We're going to look at the number. We're going to look at Vooch's lack of defense, and we're going to be like, hey, yeah, let's get a defensive guy in there. And you're right for that. But where the Bulls aren't as a franchise and as a team is at the place where it's like, all right, bet. So let's just get Vooch out of here for anything. Let's just get Vooch. That's a fan mindset. The mindset that, oh, my God, we can't go into another season with Vooch on this roster. Oh, my God. That's a fan mindset. A front office is looking at it from assets and production. Vooch has been, for an offense that people say he doesn't fit in, he's been one of the most productive and consistent Bulls the whole entire time that he's been here, even last season. So, I mean, when you go and look at the month by month, other than the month of March, where he was dealing with some injuries and a little bit of a time period there in February, Vooch was the most consistent Bull for the entirety of the season. So, I don't like this whole notion that, oh my God, we can't have Vooch or we're going to completely melt down. Chill out a little bit. But I get it. Like I said, I have a whole episode talking about why we need a different type of center. So I understand the thought process there. But let me know what you guys think down below. Now, last topic before we get up out of here today, and this is going to play into tomorrow's episode as well. On tomorrow's episode, I'm gonna go into the Bulls' positions, and I want to talk about expectations for each player at each position, right? But I'm going to talk overall about this roster. Guys know I'm in the Discord talking all the time. And one of the conversations in that Discord the other day was, are the Bulls a better team than what they were last year? Right. And, you know, you have a lot of talk about Bulls fans and a concern. Bulls fans saying, oh, this team isn't going to win more than 35 games. Now, look at the team last season that won 39 games, that was the seventh best offense in the league. I think top three in 3-point attempts and 3-point makes last season. Offense, solid. I think as well as like when you look at one of the key factors for the Bulls was assists. I think every time the Bulls were around 25, 28, 30 assists, they end up winning most of those games. And I think now when you look at this team and the passing that we're going to have all over the court, that bodes well. Everybody gets involved in the game. The offense isn't the problem. The defense is a question there, right? And to me, the Bulls have improved defensively by a couple of ways. Noah Essengay is going to be a good defender for the Bulls. Getting Io DeSumo back healthy because he didn't really get to play with that end of run season Bulls. That's another defender that you have there. Isaac Okoro, he's another defender that you have there, right? So the defense, I think, on the perimeter is going to take a step up. And that doesn't even factor in of Daylen and Julian and P. Will, right? Which one of those guys end up earning a role and playing pretty well for you defensively? I think there's a better defensive ceiling there. I also think you're going to have better overall center play now with having Zach Collins here from the start of a season. I think Billy Donovan showed that he does really trust Zach Collins over Jalen Smith, and that he is a better defender over Jalen Smith, even though Zach Collins isn't necessarily a great defender either, but he's a better defender there. Tough a center, and I think that you have that. He also is a center that can play in more of up-tempo, even though it's not like he thrives in that. But you have that. And then the things that you can't factor in. What does Josh Giddey and Kobe look like to start a season as the main guys, right? After having a year of chemistry, having Trey Jones as a backup point guard there from the start of the season, right? Having that there and the chemistry that those three players built when they were on the court last year. Then the untangible thing of Modest Bouzelis and his development. How much of a step does he take in year two as well? To me, this isn't a team that's worse than last year. I think when you look at it as well, those 40 plus games that we had with Zach LaVine on the roster last year was actually some of the Bulls' worst basketball. And not to blame that solely on Zach, but I do think that you can look at that and say, because of the way that the offense opened up and involved everybody after Zach LaVine left, it kept everybody really involved and engaged in that. I think that's what you have to look at too as well. So I don't personally see this team as a team that's gotten worse than last year. I think this team can compete for 40 wins. I think that. Now, looking at all things that could go right. Injuries, the chemistry between Josh Giddey and Kobe not picking up where it left off last season. I've said it before. I don't expect that in-season run to be exactly how they play the entirety of the year, but I do expect it to be, how much of that carries over. It's 70% of it, 65% of it. How much of that carries over, I think, is going to be a big part in why the Chicago Bulls also either win or lose some games and stuff like that. So I think ultimately when it comes down to this, I look at it this way. This is a tough team to really kind of gauge because there's so much unknowns, but then also there hasn't been much to change. And usually when you don't have big changes, that it's harder to think that the team is going to be much better. But I think injuries, key changes, and a key acquisition and having players there for a full year in training camp together at the end of the season, I do have high hopes for this team. I don't think this is a team that's gotten worse. That's just my personal opinion. But I want to hear from you guys on it. Do you think that the Chicago Bulls have gotten dramatically worse than what they were last season? Do you think they're about the same? Do you think they've actually gotten better with some of their acquisitions? Let me know how you guys feel on that down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.